This is a workshop time, so it's a little bit different, a little more casual. You can interrupt me occasionally with raising hands, and it's more of a chat time. We're going to do a couple of exercises together as well. I'd still like to commit the time to the Lord in prayer together. Lord, we pray you would draw us with your love. That hunger and thirst for righteousness deep in our hearts, we look to you to bring it up to the surface of our hearts. Lord, we trust in you. We look to you with your word, and as we're looking into pursuing you and pursuing your word, that you would stir something deep within. Just remind us of all that you've put in us to seek after you. In Jesus' name, amen. I actually don't have a lot of slides, but I have a lot of things to show from the laptop and some physical things. So for slides, I'm only using this for some scriptures, so we can go a little bit faster. A scripture I'd like to read, though, is this in Psalm 119. During this workshop, we're going to use Psalm 119 for almost everything. This is the longest chapter in the Bible on purpose, and it's the chapter that expresses a real heart for God's Word. A lot of people think it's a overflow from David's Psalm 19, not 119, but Psalm 19. If you remember in Psalm 19, he first shares about how wonderful creation is and how the heavens declare this glory of God. And then it goes into sharing about the Word of God and really compares creation and how creation speaks to how the Word of God speaks. And so as an overflow from that, whoever wrote Psalm 119, maybe it was David, maybe it was someone like Ezra, maybe whoever it was, they caught the heart of David for God's Word. And they used those same phrases from Psalm 19. Psalm 19 actually unlocks Psalm 119, if that makes sense. Psalm 19, when you read it, it gives you the key to study Psalm 119. But Psalm 119 uses eight main words for Scripture. We'll look at that in a little bit, but there's words like law and precepts. And so it uses these eight words over and over again, always talking about the Word of God. And it's organized according to the Hebrew alphabet. So when you're reading the Bible, suddenly you see these odd, strange words that are usually not even explained, but it'll say like Aleph, and then Bet, and then Gimel, and then Dalet, and then it starts getting hard to pronounce. And one of them is like Chet, and one of them is Tet, and so on. Ayin, and anyway. You have to like clear your throat a few times as you do the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 22 sections. And it's kind of like we do in poetry sometimes where you'll take I don't know how many have done this, but you can take the alphabet. I think there's a famous rap song with the alphabet, and there's other things where people have taken the alphabet and they keep using the first letter of the, say, A, and they say a bunch of things with the letter A, and then they move on to B and say a bunch of things that start with B, and this is what they did in this psalm. And they really cheated with the hey word. It's the word for the. They just started every sentence with the, like the, this, the, that. Anyway, so they in a great way, every section starts with the letter. I think I'll show that in a little bit. So most of our verses we're going to take from Psalm 119. And if later, at the end of this workshop, we're going to read Psalm 119 together. And this psalm, you can actually capture the heart for God's word through this psalm. Whenever you feel so dry and even far away from caring about God's word, this is a good psalm to read. It doesn't take as long as you think. There's like 170-some verses. But like this morning when I was reading it, I think it took me about 7 minutes. And I was reading it, I was searching for four different things. So I was taking my time and jotting stuff down. So anyway, this is the verse that I think kind of expresses what's deep down in our hearts, in the new heart that the Lord's given to us. It says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, feelings-wise, the emotions of our heart, on the surface level, often can't really say this. Occasionally, you're so touched and it overwhelms all of your soul, and you would say, "Oh, how I love your word. Oh, how I love your law." And you express it to the Lord, and you're reading it, and the Lord's showing you light and giving you life and giving you conviction and revelation. And you're like, "I love this." And sometimes you have a really good time in the word, and you just tell a friend or somebody, you're like, "I need to read the Bible more. I love when I read the Bible." But at all times, there is a new heart within us believers. And deep down where the Holy Spirit dwells, there's always this declaration. Oh, how I love thy law. There is always a heart for God's word in our new heart. And you can't shake it. You can't run away from it. There's always, once you get born again, you're stuck with this. For the rest of your life, for eternity, there's a longing deep within, at the very bottom of your heart, that wants to read the word of God. It's the same longing that's after the face of Christ. It's after the Lord himself. It's a synonymous thing in a real way. By the way, I'm going to be going through a lot of stuff, but I do have a outline of what I'm supposed to say, and I printed a bunch, like 70-some. So I'll give these out afterwards. So if you're like scared that you missed something because of my accent, I'll pass this out, and so you can see this. But this heart matches the heart that's after Christ. And when you read Psalm 119, some of it is say, I seek thee, I seek you, and some of it is, I seek your word. And they are synonymous. They go back and forth all throughout the psalm, showing us that the heart for God's word matches the heart for God himself. It's the way that God expresses himself. It's his own voice. It's the words that he wants to use to speak to us. So as you're seeking for his word, you're not seeking for Bible study knowledge, and you're not seeking for theology understanding. You're definitely not seeking for just concepts and truths itself. It's always the heart for God's word is a heart for himself. That's why we have the heart for God's word. That's why we want him to speak to us through his word, because we want to know him. So this is really what we're talking about. We're not actually getting much into Bible study, but I want to show some things about Bible study just because I think it will touch the depths of our heart, saying, that's right, I love studying God's word. Studying God's word is awesome. If you ever get to talk to someone like Reagan over here, who loves really nice Bibles, and if you look at his Bible over here, it's bound in an awesome way. If you go to his house, he has over 50 Bibles, and it's just something. Even if he spends a whole day not reading it, he might just look at the covers, and he's just like, oh, I love Bibles. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Sometimes as you're just in it, you're just like, I love the smell of the word. Anyway, there's something in the depths of our hearts. Now, what it's attached to, though, is really when the Lord speaks to us and when the word is alive and there's the voice of the word and we hear his voice, that's what's really happening. But as you get into nerdy times of studying and into devotional times and all these things, there's this love created, but it's actually a love that you tap into. It's already in the depths of our hearts. All right, so with this, this is an example. My heart said for you, seek ye my face. Your face, O Lord, will I seek. Actually, I think this was mentioned in the message earlier. In our hearts, there's a call from the Lord. Here it says, my heart said for you, for the Lord. So David's heart was speaking to him, saying, seek my face. And David said, I will seek your face. That's what's going on with the word of God. That's what's going on in the depths of us. And another thing, this is from Psalm 119, with my whole heart have I sought you. So here's an example. He's saying, I'm seeking you, like the God himself. Let me not wander from your commandments. So this is Psalm 119. Every verse except for two mention the word of God. So here it's still talking about the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought. He's talking about the scriptures, but he says, I've sought you. So this is just an illustration of my point. It's all throughout there. Another thing is, another scripture here. Blessed are those that observe his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Here's another case where it's seeking him with your whole heart, but it's connecting it with his testimonies. So as you go through, some of it says, I'm seeking your word, and some of it says, I'm seeking him. I just want to make this point really clear. When we talk about having a heart for God's word, this is matching David's heart that's after God. This is matching a heart that's after the Lord. So in Psalm 119, there's no question this person is not just interested in understanding the technical things of the Bible and understanding all of the doctrines of the Bible. He really is purely focused on knowing the Lord himself. So this is the heart that's within us. Now with that, I want to go through a couple of concepts. Let me black this out. Is that how you do it? Black, yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of things, principles, that we want to just stick with, talking about having a heart for God's word. And it's just two things to remember with this. One side is called seeking. And this our brother shared about this morning, actually. The other side is meditating. So I want to, in the whole realm of anything that we do in the Word of God, these two phrases come up. They come up a number of times in Psalm 119. That this seeking, I'm seeking, and also I'm meditating on the Word of God. I'm meditating on His precepts. I'm meditating on this. So these two things should happen side by side with each other. As you're seeking, one thing that you're doing, I'm using it in a very specific way with scriptures, with Bible study and reading the word and our time alone, just with a few verses, all of this. In seeking, we're really gathering something. We're gathering some bit of the letter of the word, whether it's extreme seeking and a really thorough study, or whether it's just a regular daily grab a verse, but I've grabbed something. I've grabbed some letter of the word that I'm actually reading. So when you're seeking, you're grabbing some bit of the word of God. You're actually opening it up, reading something, or you're searching through the scriptures, whether it's searching for through a word, or you're searching through a topic, or you're searching a book of the Bible and you're outlining it. All of these things, as you're seeking, you're gathering these materials together, always with the intent to hear the Lord's voice. You may hear his voice while you're seeking, or it may come in the meditation later on. So while you're seeking, don't be sad if you don't hear anything. Seeking is so important. It's the role of our thirsty, loving heart for the Lord. And the Lord doesn't always give us his voice while we're seeking. But we gather together the letter of the word. We gather together something. And then you hold on to it. And then there's this side of meditating. Now, as you're meditating, you're considering that word that you grabbed. But as you're prayerfully considering it, meditation for Christians is not like meditation in other religions. In other religions, when you meditate, you try to zone out. And you try to blank your mind out. It's great for communication with other spiritual things, but not with God. If you want to communicate with the Lord, he likes us to meditate on his word, actually. Prayerfully, taking it back to him, looking to him, what is he saying with this? Is he saying something with this? So as we've gathered something from seeking, then we begin to meditate on it. It may happen at another time. It may happen at the same time. You may have a lot of time as you're reading just one chapter of the Bible, and you're reading it, and you're slowly, lazily, wasting timely, meditating, prayerfully. You read a little bit, and you're like, what is this? And then you read a little bit more. That's totally cool. A lot of us don't have time for that. So a lot of us, we gather something. I only had 5 minutes, and it was in between this and this. But then as you're walking to somewhere else, you're meditating on what you just gathered. The habit of someone having a heart for the Lord's word really includes a lot of meditation on his word. It becomes, in a way, your mind becomes a little bit in the clouds. But it's in the scriptural clouds, not crowds. It's you've got something above to put your mind on. You've got something of his word that you've studied or you've read or you've gathered in the morning or you've gathered at another time, even something that you heard in a message, but you're thinking about it, you're contemplating about it, you're prayerfully seeing if it applies to your life in some way. And this can happen when you're in the shower. This can happen while you're eating a meal with no one around. It could happen when you're in the car if you turn the radio off. So when you first hop in the car, don't turn the radio on first thing. Look to the Lord and see, is there something to meditate on? Sometimes you're so down or you're so like, maybe you just need to hear a good Christian song on the radio or a hymn somewhere or something like that. Or maybe you need to know what the weather is. I don't know. But when you can have quiet moments, don't be afraid of them. Use them for meditation. And this is the way of the heart. There's always a seeking and always a meditating. There are really no rules in the Bible about what to do with the Word of God. It would be a lot easier if there were, in a way. In a way, we could say, like we do sometimes with the brand new Christian, we might tell them like 4 or 5 things to do as habits. And I think it's appropriate and helpful. But very quickly, it can become a type of rule on top of you, kind of a daily thing that you have to do. And we misunderstand it. Even though these are habits that holy men and women of God have been doing, they have been doing it because they have a heart for God's word. But if you just have them as rules, for example, like a morning time, you can't actually prove in the scripture that you must have a time at a certain time in the day, in the morning, with the word of God. You can't prove it. But if we get into the heart for the Lord's word, these are some of the things that we might actually do. This is some of the practices that you might have. So I'm going to use some examples of some heart habits. If you've got the heart to seek his word, there's some different ways of seeking. And if you've got the heart to meditate on his word, it's because you have a heart for the Lord. And if, as you tap into this, there are some helpful things for meditating on the word of God. So that's what we want to go through. Not putting this out there as stuff that you should be doing or have failed in doing. Any one of us in this room could quickly testify how much we have failed in any disciplines with the Word of God. However much better you're doing than someone else, all of us, I think, have felt, and maybe even feel, how terrible we're doing. But the Lord is looking at the heart, and we want to take a step back from disciplines and just say, just tap into the heart for God's Word, just the love for His Word. Even if you have to give up on all of your Bible reading plans for a week and just find a random chapter to read in, and just remember the good old days when you would just flip open and read at random and say, oh, this is cool. Now, I'm not saying you should give up your Bible reading plans, but never forget to waste time. Never forget to do the exciting things. Never forget that there's a love for the Lord's Word in our hearts. So if we do these other types of things, it's because of the heart for God's Word. Now, that said, remember, our heart is tricky and deceitful. So the emotions of our heart can feel one way, when actually the love of our heart is another way. So just because you don't feel like doing something doesn't mean that your heart isn't longing to do that. How many times have you sat down, not wanting to read the Word of God, but then as you do it, it reignites that love for God's Word, and you remember, and you say, I'm so glad I did this. I'm so glad. The feeling's not there. That's not what we're talking about when we say have a heart for God's Word. It's not that you feel it again. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. It's that you discover the new heart inside that loves God's Word. And it's the choice of the heart. It's the conviction at the depth of your conscience to be in God's Word. It's the pull from the Holy Spirit drawing you back to God's Word. So you don't have to feel the heart for God's Word. It has to be caught in the very conscience of the heart. It has to be caught in the very depths of our heart. So let's use a few examples. I think the best example of this seeking and meditating as a combined type of thing is what I call manna, the manna of the Word. And so to use a few terms, some would call it morning watch. We would call it our morning devotion time. And I don't know what else it's called. My morning time, my quiet time, yeah, QT, I don't know, solo time. Anyway, in Christianity in general, and through the centuries, there's been a thought and a concept of, at the beginning of the day, opening up God's Word, and not only opening up God's Word, but setting apart a small bit of time to be in His presence. So what do you actually do when you do this time? There's no rules about it, right? If you have a heart, though, to seek the Lord's face and to meditate, if you have a heart to seek His Word and seek Himself, when you get together in the morning and you set apart, you wake up early enough to at least have, I think Ray mentioned earlier, 15 minutes. I think that's a good at least this much. So if you've got at least 15 minutes, at the beginning of this time, because you're seeking the Lord's face, don't actually open up the Word of God yet, is an encouragement that I'd give. Some encouraged me this way, and it actually really, really helped me. Because when we open up God's Word, we want to hear His voice. So before you open up His Word, take a moment to quiet your heart, to try to look to the Lord face to face, to ask Him to search your heart and see if there's any wickedness, see if there's anything wrong with you all. You may sing a song to Him, but anyway, you just behold Him for a moment. It may just be a few moments. But then when you feel like, yeah, I'm in the Lord and the Lord's in me, and in that moment of His presence and of looking to Him, then open up His Word and read in His Word. Now, I call this manna, though. I want to use the term manna because I think manna gives the expression of seeking and meditating at the same time. And manna is very scriptural. Now, here's a verse here. In Deuteronomy 8:3, this is where we are given the lesson of the manna that the Israelites had in the wilderness. There was something behind the manna. Now, what is manna? It actually says in Exodus 16, they called it manna because it means what type of stuff? It means what? It's the whatness. It's what? Like, the word for what in Hebrew is ma. So it's like, mana. It's like, ma, I don't know what this is. So they said, what is this? They didn't even call it bread, like lachem. They just said, ma. Did you gather the what stuff? Did you gather the what? So every time they ate it, they're like, what? Like, this is what they called it, ma. So it's man or ma. So anyway, it's manna. So they said this, but there was a lesson. Because it showed up on the ground with the Israelites while they're in the wilderness. They didn't have regular kitchens to work in, but every day they'd go out early in the morning. At the first beginning of the morning, somehow in the dewness of the ground, this bread appears. And it's bread from heaven, the scripture says. So the Lord, in his own way, miraculously, made this whatness stuff appear on the ground. And that became their food all the day. And it says if they gathered it right away, it was so good and it was good all through the day. If they didn't gather it in time, it spoiled. So they go out to gather it and it's ruined and you can't eat it. It's because they did something else with the beginning of their day instead of gathering the manna, instead of gathering the bread. So that's why they learned that lesson. First things first, put the Lord first, grab this bread. So that's why they did it first. And then it's not only that they went to it first, but it lasted all day long. This is something I forgot about before. When I was thinking about my devotions, I do my devotion time in the morning. But as I contemplated the concept of manna more, they ate on it at not only breakfast, but lunch and dinner and snacks and midnight snacks. This is what they had. And they learned different ways to make cake and other things with it. So they had this all through the day. Now it says here, he suffered them to hunger, but he fed them with the manna, which they did not know. Because they called it what? And here's why. Here was the lesson. That he would make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that goes out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Does this verse sound familiar? The Lord Jesus quotes this verse when he's tempted to create bread out of rocks. He quotes this verse that the Israelites learned about manna. Manna was a teaching about the Word of God. So if you catch this, manna actually instructed the Israelites that they don't live by bread, but by everything that goes out of the mouth of the Lord. The Word of God is what they live by. And they discovered this through the manna. Now, how does that connect? So when Jesus was even able to say to the tempter, he didn't turn the stones into bread, because he doesn't just live by bread. He lives by the Word of God, everything that goes out of the Lord's mouth. So if manna is a picture or a lesson of the Word of God, then we can use that typology of manna to discover how we would do our morning manna time if we have a heart for God's Word. So you would gather it in the morning. Now, a lot of people suggest you're just gathering a little bit. It's just enough for you. So at this portion, if you've got a lot of time, you can do all of your studies and reading and everything in the morning. I'm just talking about if you only have 15 minutes, maybe the first 15 minutes of your time that you've got. Sometimes you have hours, so you do your manna, and then you do your Bible reading, and you do your Bible study, and your memorization, and anything else you do. But if the first 15 minutes, you just take a little portion of God's Word, don't open a devotional book. Don't feel convicted if you do. I'm just saying, here's my recommendation. Take just God's Word, because you're trying to discover something from God's Word personally yourself. You're trying to feed on His Word directly. I love devotional books. I have like a stack of them about maybe like this. But I love devotional books. They're great for like the bathroom. Or, no, maybe not the bathroom. That's gross. It's terrible. If you go to the bathroom, you see a devotional book and the pages are wet. You're like, what? Or, you know, like ruined from, anyway. You don't want to read it anymore. But they're great for like a short time together with a few people reading a short word. I think it's great to read a devotional book every day. I think these things are good. But in your manna time, set aside a devotional book. Even if you want to grab the verses that they used, but don't read their commentary on it. Don't read their manna time. Their devotional books that they wrote came out of their personal manna time. But have your own personal manna time first. So you're gathering just your portion, enough for you that day. It may be one or two verses. One time I was asking, like, where in the world do I find these verses? And so someone just suggested, like, New Testament letters are really easy. Some other places in the Bible that are more easy to meditate and contemplate on rather than the sacrifices in Leviticus and stuff like that. Those have so much in them, but it's more for Bible study, perhaps. So with manna, occasionally it might be something from Leviticus. While you're reading through the Bible, sometimes you may find a verse and you're like, ooh, that's cool. I want to come back to that. Let me use that tomorrow in my manna time. So you set it aside, write it down or whatever, and you plan on reading that in the morning. But whatever it is, it should be something that you can prayerfully consider with the Lord. So as you take that back to the Lord, He may give you light, understanding. He may give you some conviction, something that you should be doing. Or He may give you nothing. And this is normal, because you not only seek and gather your manna, but you chew on it all day. So as you've done that, it's edifying no matter what you say. You don't even know it. Your emotions don't feel it. But as you gathered it, your heart deep down is like, yes, I'm glad we did this. Even though it's like, I have no idea what this word means, right? It's like the first word of the first verse of Philippians 1:1 is like Paul and Timothy is to the you're like to the Philippians. This is deep, but I don't get it. It's just Paul wrote a letter. But as you meditate on it all day, then this grace and peace to you in Christ Jesus that he says, like, whoa, grace and peace to you. Somehow, through that day, at the end of the day, as you're about to yell at somebody, this word comes back into your heart from your daily man, grace and peace to you. You're like, oh, peace to me right now, like before I yell at somebody. And your manna becomes alive, and it becomes like the Lord's voice. And it was good that you chewed on it. Sometimes you're chewing on manna that you just don't understand. It may be weeks later, but it's so profitable. The Word of God is being worked on. So meditating on your morning verse is almost as important as gathering it that morning. Now, you can't meditate if you didn't gather it, right? And if you gather it too late and you've already spent an hour looking over your emails, then by the time you get to manna, your mind's all confused and you're thinking about your tasks of the day, and it's all spoiled. And you just repent for the next day. But if you gather it first thing, and your phone's on silent, or whatever it is, and you gather it first thing, then you can meditate on it all day. So this is a way. And this is, let's see, this is this verse. Yeah, and in John 6, just to say, the Lord Jesus said that he was the manna. I'm just putting this up here just to say, like, manna not only teaches us about the Word of God, but also about Christ himself. So in that morning time, when you're gathering the manna, you are gathering your walk. You're kind of reconnecting, reconsecrating, just saying hello to the Lord because your whole day is going to be in a relationship with him. He is really your manna. He is what you're going to feed on all day. It's his life that you're going to be living by. So it's connected with the word, but it's also connected with I'm seeking his face. So I would just suggest seek his face first. Then grab a little bit of his word, and that combined together in a prayerful way can be your meditation all day. Sometimes I would write it down like on a card, or I'd put it on my phone or something like that, but because I'd keep pulling it out through the day to think about it. Or you may also memorize it. All right, so with that, when you're seeking, one of the things is the Lord himself actually seeks you out. And this is just the seeking and meditating of it. So this says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. Now, I want to bring up another holy habit. And this is scripture memory. And we're going to use another verse, which is we're going to try to memorize together in a sec. But this just to say, here he's saying, not that he's seeking, but he is seeking, but he's asking the Lord to seek him out. And here's his reasoning behind it. I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten your word, your commandments. This completely works. Because when there's some bit of word stuck in our hearts, you may accidentally memorize some of God's word. A lot of us, even if you say, I've never memorized a verse, you've got something in there that you remember. Before I got saved, I remembered some verses, and that's how I got saved, was this verse was speaking to me. But it was just because I'd heard it so many times. But here he's saying, seek your servant. And he gives a reason. The Lord can actually seek his servant through the word that he's put, that you've remembered, that you've put in your heart. So now I want to bring up scripture memory. And all of us have failed at scripture memory, would be the first to admit. How many times have you memorized a little bit and then now you've forgotten? How many have memorized something and right now you can't quote it if we asked you? Raise your hand. Okay, great. Yeah, like my wife and I memorized Song of Songs before we got married. It's awesome. Some verses I remember, but right now, if you put me on the spot, I know I would mess up. She would do it right, but I would mess up. I got some of the parts right, but now sometimes when I'm saying the words about that the guy is saying to the girl, I mix it up and suddenly I'm the girl talking to the guy. And Kat is like, what? No. You know, and she's saying about how my locks of hair are black and flowing or something. It doesn't completely work. Yeah. But her neck is like an ivory tower or something. Yeah. So anyway, there's stuff that we've just forgotten. And when I was beginning to memorize, what motivated me to memorize scripture was I couldn't remember things that I knew were in the Word of God. And I was sharing with some unbelievers, and I was like, the Bible says this. They're like, it doesn't say that. Show me where. I was like, I'll find it. Give me 5 minutes. They're like, see you. You know, and they were gone. And I couldn't do it. And so I memorized that verse. And the next time I saw them, I was like, hey, it's this. And then, okay, so that worked. And then I memorized any of them that I thought they would catch me on and stump me on. So I could say, yeah, the Bible does say this. But then as I memorized some, I found some that really helped me in my walk. So out of desperation, just to overcome some sins, I memorized some scriptures. And it was just my weapon to fight with. Because the sin temptation would come up, and I'm desperate, and when I would quote the scripture, that's when I would get delivered. Up until this day, it's the same way. But that's what motivated me and brought me into it, through selfish reasons in a way. I mean, selfish for my own spiritual life or ability to witness or help someone. Later on, just and discovering the joy of having the Lord's word in the heart, like I wanted to memorize more and more and more. But in the beginning, when I asked other believers and older saints, I'm like, what did you do for memorization? How did you memorize? What did you do? And they'd share with me about memorization. And then I ask, what are you doing right now? Or do you remember any of those things? And almost all of them are like, no, we forgot. You know, I had 100 verses memorized, and it was a stack of cards. But then it was like taking me an hour every day to go through these, and so I gave up. And this is our problem. Most of us give up pretty soon after we start memorizing. Now, I'm not saying you need to memorize every day, but I'm encouraging all of us, myself included, to try to remember what we've memorized. Try to keep what we've memorized. And our morning manna verse is actually a great start. The morning manna verse, you're already in. You're already chewing on it all day. By the time the end of the day goes, if you realize it, you've probably already memorized it, depending on how long the verse is. But as you keep reading it and thinking about it and whatever, you end up memorizing it in a way. And so it's a great place to start. If we're really dull in our minds, we can still memorize our manna verse. We can still memorize a little bit. But at least we could try to keep it. So for me, I started off with stacks of scriptures, right, and flashcards. And I got me a flashcard system. So I grabbed these old flashcards. I threw away more than half of my cards already in the past. But what I would do is actually check mark all the corners, because I wanted to find a system of bashing it into my dull mind so I wouldn't just memorize it. And also, if the stack got so big, I didn't have to read this every day. So I start off with one verse, and then I memorize that, so the next day I do it, and if I got it right, I check it. So one side has the verse, and one side has the actual scripture. So let's say on one side it's Proverbs 12:4, and on the other side it actually says it. A woman of worth, which is an isha, is a crown to her husband. All right, so this is it. And then if I got it right, I check it, and then I switch sides. And where is it at where it says a woman of worth is a crown to her husband? And so, oh yeah, if I said it's Proverbs 12:4, then I could check it. As I keep checking it, once I got to 5 checks, this is just my own silly way of trying to bash it into my mind. Once I got 5 checks, I stuck it in a weekly pile. And then once a week, I'd go check it out. Now, and I ended up going into weekly and monthly and quarterly and yearly, and that was great. So I had all these flashcards because I'm trying to stretch them out, right? So I had about two shoeboxes of flashcards just going. But I don't have to look at them every day. It would take me about 15 minutes a day to go through these things because I'm doing the monthly and weekly ones at scheduled out times. But it's to bash it in. The next thing you know, when it gets to the monthly ones, you're like, it's very quick because it's in your heart more thoroughly. So this is the type of concept. Now, James actually introduced me to an app for a phone. It's Remember Me. And it was great. There's a number of apps for Bible memorization. And actually, I'm going to pull this side up. Okay, so this is just one of the apps, but I love it because it uses that same concept that I was doing. This is just called Remember Me. I don't get any money if you download this app. I'm just trying to give you an example. So now on my phone, the same exact system, it's like, see, they're going through it down there, aren't they? Yeah, they're flipping around. Okay, so this same exact system of kind of flashcards is available there. They spread it out after 2 days and then 4 days and then 8 days, and it kind of keeps pushing it back if you get it right. I love that kind of concept because it makes you develop some long-term memory, if this makes sense. So as you're memorizing, you're trying to hide it in your heart and remember it. It also gives a few techniques of memorization, like hiding some words or saying it, like it'll actually speak it to you, and then so you can hear it and then speak it back. So all these things may help you. You may write it down, or you may just. But one thing that I think works for almost anybody is to say it out loud with your mouth multiple times. And for me, about every time I say something 5 times, I've got it memorized. So I want to try this test with us, actually. We're going to try to memorize together. Let me move this guy. Oh, the top is, okay, that's scary. Oh, sorry. Mouse problems. Okay, let me try. We're going to take Psalm 119:11. How many have that verse memorized? Awesome. Okay. Don't cheat. because now you've got to memorize it in a new translation. Okay. Oh, did I lose it? Oh, I lost it. Okay. Sorry, guys. All right, so let's try this. Psalm 119, I'm going to say it because now I can't even show you. So it starts out like this. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now you got to do the thees and thys because we're doing Darby's translation this time. Okay? This is going to be pretty hard because you're used to NIV or NASB or ESV or something. So this will make it more difficult even if you haven't memorized. So we'll go through just a section at a time. So thy word, and then you repeat, and you say, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee? Okay. How many already have it? Whatever. No, they probably really do. I believe them. I believe them. Okay. So thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right, let's get this up here now so you can see it, actually. All right, there it is right there. Now, again, so we've said it two times now. So we're going to try five times. Ready? So this third time, we'll do it all at once, and you can actually read it. Ready? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Fourth time. Ready? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And usually whenever you repeat it, you got to think about where the reference is. I actually say it out loud to myself, Psalm 119:11. So let's say that, Psalm 119:11. Okay, fifth time. Are we on the fifth time? All right, ready? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So, well, you guys. All right. So now let's try it this way. Thy have I in my heart. You guys. All right. Now, where is it at?
Psalm 119.
Cool. All right, let's go.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against
you. You guys, that took us like a minute. That was awesome. And you memorized it even in the old translation, right? The Darby translation. All right, so memorization doesn't have to take that long. If you repeat it out loud a few times, you've got to memorize. Now, the problem is, when I ask you tomorrow, what's that verse that we memorized yesterday? You're like, Psalm 19:23, or you don't remember where it's at. So, but if you try again tomorrow, just try to remember. Maybe you get a little bit wrong, but then as you try over and over, it gets developed and it gets long-term. So getting that first doesn't take that long. It probably will happen in your morning manna kind of automatically. But developing it to be long-term is something that you kind of maintain. So whether you use flashcards or something like that, whatever works for you. That's why I brought all this physical stuff up here. Because I wanted to show, like, you can do it without computers, but computers can also save you a lot of time if you want to use computers, if you want to use apps and things like that. Okay, so that's memorization. Now, another thing that we can do with seeking the Lord is what we call Bible study. And it's weird. It's a real seeking right here. And Bible study is not as devotional as your manna time. It's not as like wasting time. It's definitely more gathering in the seeking. So I'm going to mention just a few Bible study concepts here. Let me get this out of here. Let's see if I can stop that projection. Okay. So with Bible study, one of the things that we do is called, we call it a book study. It's where you take a book of the Bible. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm showing my kids, aren't I? This is just my desktop, right? All right, so let's say Bible study template. Okay, yeah, this is good. So here's my little template that I use when I'm studying a book of the Bible. So I'm studying a book of the Bible, say Genesis, right? And I'm looking for stuff. I'm trying to create a basic outline of the book and then a detailed outline. I've got notes by verse and any other stuff that I learn, like if there's a key word or phrase or I find verses I want to memorize. You don't have to do this in a Word document. I use OneNote now mostly, or you might use like paper. I use paper a lot in the past. Sometimes even now I use paper because it's just convenient. I've got paper, and I don't want to type it in, so I just shove it in this thing. This is a filing thing organized by books of the Bible. And then I've got some by topics, like a topic of evangelism or basic lessons or speaking in tongues or chronology or anything. All right, so I've got these topics here. And then I've got these books of the Bible. And I keep the same kind of notebook online as well. And however you organize it, what you're doing when you're studying a book of the Bible is you're reading it. You'll read Genesis, but you'll read it over and over again. And the foundation of studying a book of the Bible is your outline. The thing that you're looking for to understand a book of the Bible is, what's the burden behind this book? How did they express it? What is their outline? So after reading it about 5 times, you begin to see, like, I think they're kind of talking about this. And then maybe you're taking notes, what I call a detailed outline, which is kind of a point by point. It's like a straight outline. I don't know how this all fits, but I'm just putting my points right here. And as you're doing that, you begin to discover, oh, there's like 5 points that all match with each other. And there's like some others over here that kind of match with each other. So you find out you find out kind of the outline of the book. Now I'm gonna put another one up here if I can find it. Let's see. Come on, buddy. Okay. So with Genesis, for example, I'm not gonna show you. This is too much. Taking too long. So you may have a general outline, and then you may have something that's like really, really detailed. So if I can pull it up, it'd be really nice to show. Come on, old Bessie. No. All right. So with that, if you're studying a book of the Bible, I would recommend don't use a commentary unless you're going to read the book multiple times. Unless you're really studying and you've read it like 20 times, 10 times at least, and then you can turn to commentaries. But there is something you could turn to earlier, and these are Bible overview books. So as you're reading it and you've read it over and over again, and you're trying to study it, but you're like, what is this book actually talking about? I'm in Haggai, and I just have no clue. There's some Bible overview books that are really helpful. So I'm going to just mention a few of them. One of them is this God Has Spoken series by Brother Kong, Stephen Kong. He goes through it really simply just to kind of whet the appetite, but then as he does it, he gives some general outlines for you to start with, and then you fill in the details. Another book is The Unfolding Drama of Redemption. And in this book is by William Graham Scroggie. It is awesome. If you read this book, you're just create like a nerd hunger for the Word of God, because you're like, this is so cool, and this matches with this, and it's amazing how all this works. So this guy has his charts and his outlines and his neat things in the Word of God and neat revelations of how this connects with this. As you go through this, though, it's a little bit more like I've been reading the Word more times. I've kind of developed my own outline of the book, and so now I'm ready for something like that. There's another overview is by Darby, James Nelson Darby. It's just his synopsis of the books of the Bible. When you read that, it's not as nerdy as this one, but it's kind of like everything is a typology of Christ as you're reading it. It's a little bit more flowy, but as you read it, you kind of get more of the heart behind what's going on in the book. I think these things are helpful. I think these things are great as you're seeking, but they're not the first thing that you turn to. You're not going to study the book of Genesis and then turn immediately to something like to a commentary. And if you show up to a Bible study with a commentary and you don't have your own comments, you're missing out on the fellowship. Because what we're doing is we're trying to hear the voice of the Lord. We're trying to meet the Lord. Commentaries are for fellowship later on. If you reach the point where you can fellowship with somebody about what you've been studying, then fellowship with a commentary. Fellowship with some other believers about what you've been studying. But don't go ahead and swallow their thoughts on everything, or else you'll miss maybe something that the Lord will show you. So even though commentaries are really great, I would discourage them until you're at a good place where you feel like, I'm hungry for more, and I've exhausted what I can find, I feel like. Not exhausted, but I feel like I'm ready for some more. I've read it multiple times. Another thing that you might do is a word study. And I wish I could grab this. But okay, so one of my things up here is a word study on Psalm 119. Remember those 8 words that I mentioned? Like the commandments and the precepts and all of this stuff. So I gathered the materials for that. I don't know how that's still up there. I pulled the projector thing. But anyway, I gathered the materials. I did the exhaustive look at these exact words. Now, what I mean by the exact words are the original language words. So, for example, the word law, it has a number connected to it, which we call a Strong's number. I know this is elementary for a lot of people in here, but I just want to mention it. If there's a few people that get lost when they see these numbers around, like, this is really helpful. So here's Strong's Strong Concordance. You have to be strong to carry it. His last name was Strong. I think is why they call it Strong's. So James Strong, right? This was a great concordance because up until this point, one guy that made a concordance, Cruden's concordance, it's amazing. He actually lost his mind from making the concordance. But this is how much people love God's word. But as he, you know, think about making a concordance before they existed. He pieced together where all of the words are in the King James Version, and he found them all and put them all in order, like, and found all of the word cat. Is cat in the Bible? Ape's in the Bible, right? So he found that. Or peacock, right? He found everything that he could find on peacocks. And he put it all together. And in the process of this, he actually lost his mind. He really went crazy, this guy. So in the end of his days, he had lost his mind. But thankfully, these guys have gone on before us, so we don't have to lose our minds, so we can just cheat and use their word. Strong, though, he discovered there's more than just finding where something's at. I want to know where peacock is, so I had to go to a concordance, and I looked this up. Now we totally cheat. We have computers and our phones, and we can just say, where is peacock in the Bible? And then we find out where peacock is in the Bible. Somebody already did that. I saw that. You were typing when I was talking. But anyway, I saw you over there. All right, you can just search like that. That's the same thing that people were doing with concordances on a foundational level. It's like, I want to find this in the Bible. But if you want to do a word study, you got to go beyond that. So for example, the word love. There's a few actual, if you're just looking for the New Testament, there's a few words for love. So you can't just say, I want to look up love, and you look up every time the English word love shows up. There's going to be a few different words. Like a lot of us in the room probably already know a few of them because we hear them in messages, or maybe we've seen it around. So like agape and filio, like these might both be translated love. But when you study, you want to find the Strong's number. So here's what Strong's did. He made a number for every actual original language word. So it would be Strong's number 4562. And so that stands for a real word, even though it's translated in four different ways in English. So when you do a word study, always skip the English and go right to the Strong's number. Now, it takes forever in this concordance to piece this together. I'm just talking in case nobody has a computer. To piece it together by the Strong's number on a website is a lot easier, on one of the Bible study tool websites. I put them on the sheet, so I'm not going to bring them up here to save time. Some recommendations or some sites out there. So if you go to like a site like Blue Letter Bible, you can search by the Strong's number. A lot of them can do this, and you can gather everywhere that it has the agape love number. I only want to study this love. And then as you study, piece all those verses together, you've been seeking and gathering the materials. Now it's time to meditate. You read through them, and you prayerfully consider, what does love actually mean? Now, in this book, to do this, you've got to flip around and see where it's translated into what English languages, and then you have to find them and write them all together. I used to actually do that before I had the Englishman's Greek concordance to the Bible. Totally awesome. Unless you have a computer and you don't need it. So anyway, this goes by Strong's numbers. And it's Englishman, so you don't need to know Greek. And you don't need to know Hebrew. Here's the Hebrew one down here. So it goes by the Strong's numbers, so you can turn to the Strong's number for agape love here, and it has them all in one spot. Amazing. If you're going to use physical books, let's say computers have cooties when you get to Bible study, and you want to be away from any computer because it might distract you. It's not hopeless if that's the case. You can actually use the good old books like this. But if you're using the computer, you can use some software. There's really expensive Bible software like Logos. It's awesome, but it's like a big beast of materials. Or you could use some of the free stuff like Olive Tree or eSword. And these help you quickly gather those materials by the Strong's number if you're doing a word study. And you can actually copy those verses and paste them into your own format and use them in your own study. So that's gathering materials. But that doesn't mean you've really done anything. You've gathered this all together. When I did the materials for Psalm 119, I think it took me about 30 minutes to piece it all together and get it all in a really cool way. But then it's going through those verses and reading those verses and contemplating and meditating. So with all of Bible study, don't just gather, but half of it is really gathering. Half of it is you find the facts. You find the facts in your word study, and you have to actually get the words. You have to get every time that this word love is together. And then you actually contemplate it. You read the verses over and over again, and you begin to discover a difference here and a difference there in how many ways this is used. So you begin to kind of outline it. And as you get these discoveries in meditation, then you've been seeking and meditating, and this answers to the desire of a heart that's after the Lord. This answers to the desire of a heart that's after the Lord's word. Like when you have a heart for the Lord's word, it's in that meditation that you hear his voice, and this kind of happens. Now, a topical study is similar to a word study. A topical study is when you're taking a topic like prayer. In prayer, you can't just look up the word prayer. It just doesn't work. You're like, I'm going to find every verse on prayer. So I search prayer. And like every time they pray, they don't say pray. You know what I mean? Like when we pray, I mean, unless you have a habit of saying, Lord, we do pray. But if you don't say the word prayer and they don't in the scripture when they pray. So you have to do a lot of seeking. You have to read through the whole Bible to find all the materials for prayer. I'm still occasionally finding some more, but I've had to read through the Bible, find it every time I find a prayer. And Psalms, it's just like, give up, right? So, but you have to find as you go through, oh, there's Hannah's prayer. She didn't say the word prayer. How was I ever going to find that? By searching prayer or supplication or any of those words. You can do the word searches, but then you got to like read the Bible. So while you're doing Bible reading all the way through the Bible, try to gather something. Gather some materials because you're seeking the Lord. Then you get all these verses on prayer and you're like, this is awesome. And it smells great. And then meditate. So you read the verses and you discover things about prayer. You're like, my prayers don't work if I'm mean to my wife. My prayers doesn't work if I don't forgive somebody. He won't forgive me. Like, you discover stuff about prayer and that becomes your meditation. That becomes the Lord speaking to you. It takes work, right? It takes time. The same with the types of other things that you would find. So one of the other things you would do is what I call nerd studies. I think you might call it a fact study or a something like helps. But it's stuff like chronology, right? Like time. So you find all these dates. And it's really cool in the beginning of Genesis because you can discover stuff. As you're reading it at first, if you're just reading it and you're lazy, like all of us are, like, I wish I could get through this part about he begot him at age 286, and then he lived 375 more years, and then he died. You know what I mean? You're like reading that, you're like, okay, I'm going to get through this. But if you go ahead and get a little bit nerdy and waste a little bit of time seeking the Lord, put these things in a spreadsheet and make a chart on it. I've got a chart I was going to show, but I'm frozen on my computer. Sorry. So anyway, but you can make the chart and see it, and then you can discover cool stuff. And you have to meditate at your chart and look at it a little bit. So for example, some more well-known discoveries with these things are if you go through the timeline from Adam up until Noah and you match the guy's ages and you put it on a little chart, you can see that when Methuselah dies, he's the oldest man that ever lived, 969 years. When he dies, it's the same year after Adam, 1656 after Adam, it's the same year that the flood happens if you trace all of the years. Right? And so these are cool things to memorize too. Like, how long did Abraham actually live? Do you think this is a waste of time to put on your flashcards and memorize? It's totally cool to memorize this kind of stuff. It really helps. Because one time I was sitting in a message and somebody was preaching and he's saying, talking about the flood. And then he said, and at the flood, the Lord declared that nobody would ever live again more than 120 years. Right? I mean, have you ever heard this? So, and because it says there, like, man shall not live but 120 years. But then I was thinking of these ages that I memorized, right? And these are ages of people after the flood. And I'm like, Abraham, wasn't he like 175? How long did Isaac live? How long did, now Moses was 120. Okay, so that matches. That's probably the one age that everybody remembers. So everybody feels comfortable when the preacher says that. But Abraham, is he before the flood or after the flood? You know what I mean? And what about Shem and Arphaxad and Eber and all of these other guys that lived after the flood and they kept living more than 120 years? So then in that contemplation, as I'm sitting there, and I totally lost the message, right? So then I'm sitting there thinking, like, it can't mean that we can only live 120 years there. Not that we're going to live beyond that now, but it can't mean that. So it must have meant that that's how much time they had before the flood happened. Like, so anyway, there's some discoveries in like just memorizing some weird random facts you can find stuff out. And then as you piece it all together, and then you can see other cool stuff like who was alive when Noah was alive? Who was alive when, who knew Adam? Who could have known Adam? Like, could Enoch have talked to Adam? You're not going to know unless you like nerd it out and put it on paper, right? And the same with the sacrifices and the temple. If you ever draw the temple, now we can cheat and we can look it up online and find a picture. I think that's really helpful. Like, look at it while you're reading it and look at the colors that if somebody does it right. And then as you're reading the colors and what color curtains, not trash bags, but whatever they use. It was on a bad day, they use trash bags. But what colors it was, and then you're thinking, like, blue, I wonder what blue means in the scripture. So then you do, like, a nerd study on blue, a word study on blue, and you find all the blues. And you're like, blue means heavenly, or whatever you find out. So these things are just get interested in the nerdiness of the word, and you discover it's extremely cool. It's extremely, like, there's amazing stuff out there. And the geography, to realize where this place is and where another place is, and that's where we have to find maps, and we have to look at the maps at the back of the Bible, or we have to grab a book of maps, like an atlas thing for Bible times. But when you see how long somebody had to walk, and how many miles it is, and then you do like a Google search, like how many minutes would it take me to walk from here to here? And then you find that out, and you're like, oh, this guy just spent like 2 weeks walking it there, or like 1 week if he jogged. And then, so, but it makes you think differently, because in the scripture, it'll just say, and then he went to there and said hello. You're like, but then he went to there. That was 2 weeks before he said hello to her, right? So it begins to open up some discoveries as you get a little bit nerdy. You get curious. It's a seeking thing. And as you seek, most of the time, you're going to seek and you're like, oh, that didn't help any. But it does help. It's edifying no matter what you do. Just having the word in your heart actually is edifying. This is just something that is so helpful this way. All right. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention as a holy habit of a heart that's seeking the Lord is reading the Bible. Not everyone has read through the Bible. And sometimes it's because we don't even realize the value of it. Even if you've done all kinds of studies. I was talking to somebody the other day who's very good at studying the Bible and knows a lot of the Word, but has never finished reading the Bible and been a Christian for many years. Now, some of it, I think, is just because of not understanding the value of reading all the way through the Bible. And I'd recommend however often you can do it. I mean, sometimes if you're hungry, you can do it really quick. In a month, you can read through the Bible. So sometimes you can create your own plans. I had spreadsheets I was going to show in here, but now I can't show you. So, but I had made a calculator in a spreadsheet just so I could calculate, okay, right now I want to read 10 chapters a day. How fast could I read through the Bible right then? Or right now I want to memorize 10 verses a day. What could I memorize? How fast could I memorize the book of Philippians? So this is my nerdy way of getting like, oh, this is awesome. I'm creating my own Bible study plans. So I made some Bible study plans, but there's tons of them out there. You don't have to waste time making them. Just grab one. Whatever matters is that you read through the Word of God. As you read through the whole Word of God, I asked a very old man, Stephen Kong, he's 100 now, almost 101. I was like, because he daily reads the Bible, like 4 chapters a day. And he just does it every day. I said, you do it every day, right? Or I was asking him, he's like, every day, unless I'm really sick. Really sick. And he almost never misses it. It'd be like a hard day. And 4 chapters allows you to miss a day here and there because you'll still read through in a year. So I asked him, like, why do you read through the Bible still? And he said, because I don't remember everything. and he's always discovering more stuff. And it's always warming his heart. And that's the thing. Even though you're not memorizing a verse, just reading it gives you a panoramic, overview-ish kind of feeling of that's what's in that book. But as you're doing it, you're seeking, you're also meditating on the Word. Now, sometimes when you're in the Word, because you're open to the Lord, your heart, if it's a heart for the Lord's Word, and it's fully open to the Lord, you want to pray before you read the Word, not in such a formal way, but just like, Lord, speak to me. And then you're reading in Genesis, and you get to the story of Joseph. Like, how many have cried when they read the story of Joseph when he revealed himself to his brothers? Like, nobody, all right. Okay, me and a few girls, okay. So anyway, and he's just like, I'm your brother, right? And I think it's been 10 times that I've cried, actually. So anyway, but would you catch the heart behind it? You're just like, oh, this is awesome. Or like, the Lord's prophesying against Edom. And he's just angry, and his nose is red, it says. And you're just like, yeah, my nose is red too. And they, you know, whatever it is, your emotions can match the Lord's emotions as you're reading the Word of God. As you're in it and you're reading it, like Ray said earlier, think about like what they're actually talking like. But either way, read through the Word of God is an encouragement. But you're doing it, and then you can meditate on it. Like, if you know what's in the book of Romans, you haven't memorized any verses, let's say, but you remember kind of in a fuzzy way, it talks about this. You can meditate on that. You kind of remember the stories that you read in Exodus. You can remember it and meditate on it. You're like, oh, I think that's kind of like this. Some light will come to you while you're in the shower or some other time. And the last thing we want to do really quick is read Psalm 119. And this is just, I want to share an encouragement that we can encourage one another with this heart. And we can actually catch it from each other. So we're going to have, I asked some people to read, to come up and read. This psalm is according to the Hebrew alphabet, so they've each got one or two letters that they're going to read. And as we're reading this, we want to listen to it prayerfully. It's not going to be up on the screen. We're just going to listen to it. And let the word of the Lord wash our hearts. Like it says in the Bible, it mentions having our hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience, but it also mentions being washed, right? Now that washing may be baptism. But there is a washing of the water of the Word mentioned also. There is a type of washing the feet that happens with the Word of God. So whether you're studying or you're reading or you're memorizing or you just had some manna verse, like share it with each other and do these things together. If you do a study together with people, like a Bible study, that's one way. If you read a Bible reading plan with some others, it can really encourage you to finish each day. If you memorize some verses together, it can really help you. I had a friend who used to memorize verses with me, and there was like three guys, and we would get together, and then we would stand around in a circle, and we would shout the verses at each other. And we thought it was so cool. I was in college. It was a little silly. But anyway, we would like do these things, and it was like a big fight. Like we were fighting these verses back and forth. But when you're doing these things together, there's an encouragement because the heart is caught. It's also caught. It's deep down, and it's discovered, but it's also caught from each other. Now, the other day, when Catherine and I were in a car trip, we had run out of things to fellowship on for a moment, and I actually asked her to read Psalm 119 to me. It was late at night, and I really needed to stay awake, and we were traveling. And so she read in Psalm 119, and both of us finished this psalm full of tears, and both of us just felt like, oh, how we love the Lord's word. It washed our hearts clean. It just made everything right, and it just expressed what was deep down in our hearts. Maybe we had neglected spending enough time in the Word of God. Maybe we didn't have enough materials to fellowship with for 8 hours. We had run out or something. But either way, when we did that, it was real fellowship, even though we were just reading the Word together. And if you have nothing to say, and you're with somebody, you can even read the Word together with somebody. So I want to just have that experience together. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll read that, and then we'll be finished. Let's pray. Lord, as we read right now through your Word, we pray for that blessing of real fellowship, that the light would be with us, and especially we can catch this heart. Oh, how I love your Word. Lord, we know it's deep within, and it's in this new heart, and the Holy Spirit longs deep within just for after the Word of God and after the face of Christ. Lord, we just commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so starting with Aleph, let's come up, and maybe we will pass this mic.
Blessed are the perfect in the way who walk in the law of Jehovah. Blessed are they that observe his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart, who also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. Thou hast enjoined thy precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will give thee thanks with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Forsake me not utterly.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his path? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, Jehovah. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all wealth. I will meditate upon thy precepts, and have respect unto thy paths. I delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Deal bountifully with thy servant, and I shall live, and I will keep thy word. Open mine eyes, and I shall behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the land. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for longing after thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, who wander from thy commandments. Roll off from me reproach and contempt, for I observe thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and talk together against me. Thy servant doth meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou hast answered me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, and I will meditate upon thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for sadness. Strengthen me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of falsehood, and graciously grant me thy law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Thy judgments have I set before me. I cleave unto thy testimonies. Jehovah, let me not be ashamed. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart.
Teach Teach me, O Jehovah, the way of thy statutes, and I will observe it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I will observe thy law, and I will keep it with my whole heart. Make me to walk in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to gain. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And let thy loving kindness come unto me, O Jehovah, thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I confide in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, because I have hoped in thy judgments. Then I will keep thy law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I have sought thy precepts. And I will speak of thy testimonies before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will lift my hands unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes.
Remember the word that for thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have derided me beyond measure. I have not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Jehovah, and have comforted myself. Burning indignation hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked who forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the household of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Jehovah, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I have had because I have observed thy precepts. My portion, O Jehovah, I have said, is to keep thy words. I have sought thy favor with my whole heart. Be gracious unto me according to thy word. I have thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I have made haste and not delayed to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have wrapped me round. I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I rise up to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am the companion of all that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Jehovah, is full of thy love and kindness. Teach me thy statutes.
Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Jehovah, according to thy word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I have believed in thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged falsehood against me. I will observe thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. As for me, I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, and I will learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, Jehovah, that thy judgments are righteousness, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. O, let thy loving kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they have acted perversely towards me with falsehood. As for me, I meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that know thy testimonies. Let my heart be perfect in thy statutes, that I may be not ashamed.
My soul fainteth for thy salvation, I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, I do not forget thy statutes. How many shall be the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which is not according to thy law. All thy commandments are faithfulness. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but as for me, I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me according to thy loving kindness, and I will keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Jehovah, thy word is settled in the heavens. Thy faithfulness is from generation to generation. Thou hast established the earth, and it standeth. By thine ordinances they stand this day, for all things are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have awaited me to destroy me, but I attend unto thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection. Thy commandment is exceedingly broad.
Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil path, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for it is thou that hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, more than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much, O Jehovah, quicken me according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, Jehovah, the voluntary offerings of my mouth, and teach me thy judgments. My life is continually in my hand, but I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I have not wandered from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever unto the end.
The double-minded have I hated, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, and I will observe the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast set at naught all them that wander from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh shuddereth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according to thy loving kindness, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for Jehovah to work. They have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I regard all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false path.
Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul observe them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giving understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Turn unto me, and be gracious unto me, as thou art wont do unto those that love thy name. Establish my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, and I will keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servants, and teach me thy statutes. Mine eyes run down with streams of water because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, Jehovah, and upright are thy judgments. Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal destroyeth me, because mine oppressors have forgotten thy words. Thy word is exceeding pure, and thy servant loveth it. I am little and despised. Thy precepts have I not forgotten. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold upon me. Thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is forever. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
I have called with my whole heart. Answer me, O Jehovah. I will observe thy statutes. I call upon thee, save me, and I will keep thy testimonies. I anticipate the morning dawn, and I cry, I hope in thy word. Mine eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, quicken me according to thy judgment. They have drawn nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou, Jehovah, art near, and all thy commandments are truth. From thy testimonies I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. See mine afflictions and deliver me, for I have not forgotten thy law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Many are their tender mercies, O Jehovah. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine oppressors. I have not declined from thy testimonies. I beheld them that deal treacherously, and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. See how I have loved thy precepts. Quicken me, O Jehovah, according to thy loving kindness. The sum of thy word is truth, and every righteous judgment of thine is forever.
Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in all of thy word. I have joined thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood. Thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing doth stumble them. I have hoped for thy salvation, O Jehovah, and I have done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near thee, Jehovah. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall pour forth when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak aloud of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thy hand be for my help, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Jehovah, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I have not forgotten thy commandments. Amen.